And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Allegedly.
That is me. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online, of course, at hubcityradio.com. We're live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Download the Hub City Radio app today or the 605 Radio app, and you can take us wherever you go. I was courtside for the Northern State basketball games this weekend, and there was a lady that came up to me during the, or before the game anyway, and she says, "Oh, I just love listening to you calling the games. Can you walk me through this on the app?" Very, very simple, very user-friendly. You click on that very bottom part there. Heck, I'll even kind of walk us through a little tutorial right here and right now. So if you go on the Hub City Radio app, I'll walk us through this. It's pretty easy. On that little bottom part, it says live streams. You give that a click, you give that a tap, and then you can choose whatever station you want to listen to. You can listen to us here, of course, on Fox Sports Aberdeen, or choose from The Rock, Sunny 97.7, Pheasant Country 103, 106.7 Point FM, KSDN, Pure Country, The Reason. So you've got lots of options for sure. Again, very user-friendly. You choose your stream right there. It's your choose your own adventure book, so to speak, via the Hub City Radio app. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. How was your weekend? You had a pretty eventful one there at the Barnett Center, to say the least.
Oh, man. It was a great weekend at the Barnett Center. Crowd was fantastic, and they finally kind of got into the mix. You know, it took a while. You know, it took to the final games of the regular season, but finally got the crowd kind of going there a little bit, made a big impact, I thought, and just in particular on Saturday for the women's game against MSU Mankato. And we'll recap this game a thousand different ways, but I was just thinking yesterday, I was having some dinner with my family, and I was saying, you know, I didn't mention this to Paula at the time, but I said to my parents and my wife, and I said, if I would have told you that you're going to play the 14th ranked team on Saturday, you're going to surrender 87 points, and you're going to turn the ball over 25 times, you're probably pretty nervous about that, right?
Yeah, and you mentioned it on the broadcast too, Tukes. They only had 48 points in the first matchup or something like that. They scored 92 in the second one. Wild.
Yeah, it was phenomenal and just a really well-balanced attack. And I tell you what, I think that is a resume-boosting victory for sure for Northern State. Now, it depends on who you look at and some of these prognostications and what have you, but kind of the temperature that I'm gauging is that the NSIC is only going to send one team to the national tournament. So take that for what it's worth. But I don't know, man, a team that's won 19 consecutive games, they're 14th in the country. That sure can't hurt your resume, right?
No doubt. No doubt about it. That's a big resume building win against a team that was red hot. And you won the game despite turning the ball over 25 times. I came on here on Friday and said, hey, if you cut that in half, you got a pretty good chance. And you said, well, if you cut it in half, you might win the game by 15.
Yeah.
They won by 5 with 25 turnovers. So, yeah, man, that was a big-time win. And that, I think that's the way you had to beat them. You had to beat them scoring a ton of points, and they did that. They were red hot, and I'll tell you what, Paula Kruger, she said it on the post game with you, Tukes. You know, we're going to enjoy that one the next two days, and you know they're getting ready to finish up their season on the road here strong. But that was an amazing win there, and a really amazing weekend for the women's squad.
No two ways about it. The Wolves right now sitting firmly in that number two spot in the NSIC, looking for that first round bye, and just a really well-balanced attack. Talk about how good Madeline Bragg is all season, and Rihanna Phillippe, Elena Beneke. But I thought one of the big difference makers was a pair of freshmen. DeConte Smith coming off the bench there. She had 18 points there. That's a career high for her. But I thought Briley Schultz making some plays off the bench, in particular when Bragg left the floor. She had 3 offensive rebounds and 3 putbacks. So it's like, okay, we lose arguably a first-team all-conference player, or at least an all-conference player in Madeline Bragg, who's just off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we replace her? And then boom, 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 you get Briley Schultz in there making huge plays. I thought she was phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think everybody really stepped up because, you know, Phillippe, she fouled out at the end of the game too. And I know Minnesota State, she was best player for Minnesota State.
Joey Batt.
She was also fouled out. So I think everybody did their part and came away with that win. And I'll tell you what, that's a, like you said, that's a resume booster, especially late in the season. I know Minnesota State, they had it pretty much wrapped up going into the game, but you mentioned it on Friday. They were full steam ahead. We're going to play our starters. We're going to try to win. And Northern State responded about as well as you could.
Yeah, anybody that says, they were holding back a little bit.
No.
No, not at all. Not even close. As they forced 24 turnovers officially. Joey Bett, to your point, she had 33 points in that game, and she was phenomenal. She's one of the best point guards in this conference. And the way that Minnesota State Mankato plays defense, they really, I said this on the broadcast, and I'll say it again, they really put the onus on the officiating crew. It's like, how close are you going to let this thing go? Because they go basically up to that line. Sometimes they cross it, that's a foul. And sometimes they're just right there in your face. They could probably tell you what flavor gum you're chewing. They get so close on defense. And it's a phenomenal way to play defense, but you really put the onus on the official and the officiating crew, because they're not going to call every single foul. It's just not going to happen. That just completely, you know, flubs up the flow of the game. So it really puts the pressure on the officials to blow the whistle. And credit to them. They're a great defensive team. They've been great all year. They forced 27.8 turnovers per ball game, and Northern, they were less than that. So a win, I guess.
That's a check plus in my book, right? Maybe not a check plus with 25 turnovers, but it is a check. That's a wild stat, too, by the way. 28 turnovers a game they force.
It is absolutely bananas how it all happens. And they are a team that they certainly will get that reevaluated from their perspective and say, hey, we can't lose again. Maybe this will be a great teachable moment for a Coach TC squad. So we'll talk about that and much more here today on the Sports Hub. A loaded Friday and Saturday from the high school perspective. We'll talk about that. You also had the Northern guys. Oh, where do we begin with the Northern guys? We'll talk about that too coming up later on in the program as well. Two absolute gut-punching, gut-busting losses. Three points separated both of those teams and both of those losses. And the way they lost on Friday night, and again, we'll get into this more later, but that might have been one of the worst ways to ever lose a ball game against Winona State, and they fell in that one 80-79.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a shot quite like that, how they executed it with the baseball pass turnaround over two defenders. Credit to the guy making the shot, but like you said, just absolutely a gut punch to start the weekend on Friday. But they did respond well on Saturday, I will say. That was a really nice effort there on Saturday.
Could have easily folded up the camp and say, yes. Hey, you know, that'd be if you had a letdown and if you just didn't show up on Saturday, you'd totally understand why.
Yes.
But it wasn't the case, and give them credit to that. And for the first time they score 80, they lose.
Yep.
They're now 9-1 this year, Northern is, when they score 80+. So we'll talk about that and much more today on this Monday edition, President's Day edition of the Sports Hub with
Mr. Unlimited,
as we've got ourselves the jump to get to today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And first and foremost, want to start up on the local side of things. We're going to mention this every single day just to kind of get the word out about this. Northern State, they're having a free youth softball camp. Northern State is having a free youth softball camp for kids between the ages of 7 and 13. It's coming up on February the 25th, which of course is Sunday. If memory serves, it is. Yes, that's a Sunday. And that'll be from 6 till 8 p.m. at the Aberdeen City Dome, formerly the Presentation College Dome there. That's on the campus of formerly Presentation College. Price, it's free. That's right, that F-R-E-E word, that four-letter F word. It's my personal favorite four-letter F word. If you have another favorite four-letter F word, get your head out of the gutter. I don't know what that is. I'm talking free. F-R-E-E. And my Uncle Dave, he always says, if it's free, it's for me.
You know, I'm thinking of that commercial. F-R-E-E, that spells free. Creditresomething.com TV. Remember that commercial back in the day?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought of when I heard that.
But that'll do as well. But indeed, it is free, coming up again on Sunday from 6 till 8 p.m. You can register at northernstatesoftballcamps.com. That's northernstatesoftballcamps.com. Any questions, please email head coach Ashley Schilling at ashley.schilling@northern.edu. But again, coming up on Sunday from 6 till 8 p.m., kiddos between the ages of 7 and 13 at the Aberdeen City Dome. The event is free to attend and open to the public, so looking forward to that. So, things to look forward to, my buddies in my group chat. I didn't look at my phone all day yesterday. I told you off the air I had a massive migraine headache. It's one of the reasons I've got the spectacles on here today. I'm probably less than 100%, but I'm battling. President's Day, got to show our nation strong or
yep.
All that good stuff. Sure, we'll go with that. All-star game yesterday on the NBA side of things. I did not watch a second of it. Even if I were at 100%, probably wouldn't have watched it anyway. But do you have anything to comment on the All-Star game in general?
Well, you know I'm a big NBA fan.
You are.
And I did not watch 1 second of that All-Star game because the last couple years it's just been pretty much unwatchable. Guys, just it's a glorified layup line, dunk contest. I saw Damian Lillard pulled up from half court just because. I'm not a big fan of it. I think they're trying, the NBA is trying to make it more competitive and more fun for the viewer to watch, but I'm just not into it at all. It's not the same as it used to be.
211 to 186. I heard that on my way in this morning, Matt. 211 to 186.
You should watch him play defense. It's just like, we're just going to jog back and give up a wide open three, give up a wide open layup. There's just no juice at all. I get it. You're supposed to have fun, but man, just can you amp up the defensive intensity just a little bit? 211 points? What?
Those words that Mike Schmidt always says, and you say them, I say them now too. What are we even doing here? When you see 211 points to 186, the East put up 53, 51, 56, and 51 in the fourth quarter there to win the game for whatever it's worth, East versus West.
Yeah, they changed it to East versus West this year. Like, that was going to make the big difference.
Yeah, right.
First time since 2017. Trying to get everybody excited. Stop.
There's something that's got to be done about these All-Star games.
And the dunk contest isn't much better. Mm-hmm. Tell you what, it was terrible. Dunk contest again.
I didn't watch any of it.
I saw the highlights. A G Leaguer won again.
Oh, great.
Some guy not in the NBA. He's won 2 years in a row. He's good. He's a good dunker, but he's not in the league.
Oh, you know, why don't we have the name people in the slam dunk contest? MJ did the dunk contest. Kobe did the dunk contest once back in the day.
LeBron should do it. He should have done it.
We've been literally saying that for like the last 15 years. Why doesn't LeBron James do the dunk contest?
He should have done it at least one of those years. I think if he would have done it, other people would be more involved in it because he's the face of the league. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I don't care. So they get guys who don't care.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's 211 to 186. Nobody cares. And speaking of nobody cares, I saw this. This was right before All-Star Weekend started up. So Jaylen Brown was on the mic, and he said the 65-game rule might be a little bit high in terms of getting postseason accolades and awards. You need to play – this is the new rule in the NBA this year. You need to play a minimum number of games to be available for an accolade,
yes,
for a postseason award, an MVP, a sixth man, that sort of thing. He says 65 games, that's a bit high. He suggested 58. Now, mind you, there's 50, make it 82 games in the regular season.
Yep.
He says he wants to play 58 as the
minimum.
Suggested minimum there. And I saw this also on social media. A gentleman by the name of Justin Termine quote tweeted this and said, John Stockton missed 22 games in 19 years.
Yep.
I'm going to say that again because that's kind of impressive. 22 games in 19 years. I don't think telling guys missing 18 games in one season is too much.
Exactly. They had to implement that rule, too, because guys were taking advantage of it, taking load management time off, so they needed to implement, hey, if you want to be a first-team All-Pro, you want the accolades for the postseason, you got to play a minimum of 65 games. That's a good example with John Stockton. Ask Magic Johnson. He feels the same way. Ask Michael Jordan. He feels the same way. I just don't understand these guys complaining about missing 17. You can miss 17 games in a season, and you're still complaining about it. Now, if you have a legitimate leg injury here, I get it. You got a legitimate shoulder injury, fine. But I'll tell you what, I just don't understand these guys complaining about playing 65 games.
Let me ask you something else, and I get it.
And Devin Booker, by the way, he said that, some reporter asked him, hey, what can we take out of the NBA? What's one thing you wish you could take out of the NBA? The back-to-backs. Come on, dude. But go ahead.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, let me ask you this one simple question. And I know it's difficult to compare the real world and sports. But in what other universe do you get paid more money to do less work while people that are doing more work are getting paid the exact same or less? What the hell are we talking about here?
Yep.
Oh, I don't want to do my job. Oh, give me a raise, though. But if you are putting the time and effort in and you're getting paid the exact same or less, you don't have a leg to stand on if you're a pro athlete, in my opinion. It's just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
this is insane.
Your job's to play the game.
Just play.
Play the game. Like, you're making millions of dollars to play basketball, and you want to lessen the games to 58? What do you get 3 months off, 4 months off in the off season? What the heck?
And then you get, 25% off during the regular season when you're actually supposed to be doing it.
Plus the All-Star game, because they pretty much don't do anything that weekend as well.
Yeah, sorry for exploding there, but I'm just so tired of kind of these, for lack of a better term, elitists in pro sports that want to do absolutely less and get paid more for it, while the average American is working their butts off, sometimes two and three other jobs, and they're getting paid peanuts on the dollar.
The NBA, they got the players. There, you got to blame yourselves because they had to implement the rule in to play 65 games because they were taking advantage of load management. You got yourself to blame, nothing but yourself. That's why they implemented the 65-game rule.
Hey, man.
Because of load management.
Don't blame me. I don't watch the NBA.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, if less and less and less and less people continue to watch, then that margin is going to start to come down, and they're not going to be paid as much.
Yep.
So it's kind of the same thing with the NFL. It's just like, yeah, all these rules are that what they are, and we still can't figure out the officiating thing. But if less and less people started watching these sports and started watching more high school stuff, more college stuff, I just feel like eventually that product that's at the highest level is going to start to come down a little bit, and then eventually they're going to have to finally look at themselves in the mirror and say, we got to fix this.
Yep.
But until that moment comes, it's still going to be crap.
Yep.
Totally agree.
That's
the bottom line. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some high school athletics on the Aberdeen side of things. Aberdeen Christian was in the mix. Aberdeen Central was as well, while the Roncalli boys were partaking in the Warner Classic. All the details on that and much more coming up next on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Man, we're bringing the juice. We're bringing the juice on a Monday morning right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. An abundance of high school stuff to get to from the weekend. Final comments and thoughts from what we're just talking about there. We're talking off the air about the NBA, and I'll toss this one in here one more time. We were saying that some of the biggest talking points of the NBA are in the off season. What other sport can you think about where the big headlines are the biggest stuff happening off the floor while the regular season is in the heart of its action right now, and just nobody cares? Nobody cares.
Yeah, no one cares. It's where's the next big free agent going this summer? that's what people are talking about. We got, 30 games left of the regular season, playoff pushes, and we're talking about sometimes, like, where's Klay Thompson going this summer or something like that.
I'm going to the loony bin after the show, I'll tell you that much. All right, high school athletics from the weekend. Let's start up on the girls' side of things. Aberdeen Central, they were playing a little bit shorthanded there on Friday night. They traveled down to Brookings. They were without two of their five starters, and they fell by 10, 48-38. Katie Withers had 12 in the loss there for Central. Madison Miller had 11. Macy Evan had 23 in the victory for Brookings there. Central kind of stubbing their toe here a little bit late. You always want to be playing your best basketball at the end of the season for sure, and I think part of that is the fact that they're without some of their starters, and certainly doesn't help the cause.
No, not at all, and this is another really close game. They were right in it there to start the fourth quarter, and we've seen a little trend here recently with the Central girls squad where they'll be right into the game there in the fourth quarter, and then a team goes on the run to end the game, and this was very similar to that. I believe it was a 39-38 game or 40-38, and Brookings went on a run to end the game. We saw that earlier this season, really, against Mitchell. We saw it against Watertown,
and we saw
it again here against Brookings. And like you said, they're shorthanded and just trying to finish strong here. You still got a couple games left. You're 9-9. And you got to, figure this out here the next couple games. But certainly a frustrating time for Aberdeen Central. But, they're still playing really hard. They're in a lot of games. It's just you got to finish down the stretch. So looking forward to seeing how they respond tomorrow night at Roosevelt.
Man, they got off to such a hot start on the season, too.
8-1.
Yeah, they were currently, they were at one point in time in the top five for what that's worth. And then since then, they've just really had, they've fallen on tough times, to your point. And some of these excruciating losses, like you mentioned the Watertown and Brookings one there, and I get it, you're shorthanded against Brookings, but man, some of these losses are just kind of kicking the gut sort of losses. You know,
yeah.
You're kind of lamenting those late in the season.
Deflating, I think.
That's
is
a good word to describe it. Yeah.
Deflating. You know, Mikayla Archigo is you know, happy with how, you know, her team plays hard, but wants her team to really just try to finish down the stretch. And I think they've just struggled with that a little bit, and they haven't done a good job from a sense of responding to runs. When a team goes on an 8-0 run, they struggle to respond and get back into the game sometimes. And it's hurt them a little bit, but they're still battling. You know, Madison Miller with 11 points there, that's a really nice game. That is for her.
On the road at Rosie tomorrow, they're 3-15 this season. Sioux Falls Roosevelt is before wrapping up the season on the 23rd. That'll be against Sioux Falls Jefferson. Jefferson 14-4 right now. As for Aberdeen Christian, they would fall at home to Potter County 48-33 there on Friday night. Zoe Menke dropped in 12. Chloe Holt had 14 in the loss there for the Knights of Aberdeen Christian. Sydney Lick drops in a game-high 16 as Groton defeats Britton Hecla 69-31. Ella Batty dropping in 15 points and snagging 9 rebounds as North Central defeats Sunshine Bible 45-29. Katie Roselle doing Katie Roselle things. I know Redfield hasn't had the season that they've liked, but she has been consistently filling up the stat sheets and box scores. She had a game-high 33. She outscored Tio Spazina by herself. 58-29 was your final score there. So Katie Roselle, she's been kind of a bright spot on a tough team this year.
Yeah, 33 points. She's done it all season long, and the offense runs through her. You know, I feel like Redfield, when they play well, she has a good game. And that was the story there against TZ.
James Valley Christian, they would fall at home to Wessington Springs 50-45. On the boys' side of things, Aberdeen Central taking care of business against Brookings 56-50. Kind of a low-scoring affair, but sometimes you got to grind it out. And Central picked up that six-point victory there at home on Friday night.
Parker Lamar was awesome in the fourth quarter. He had 8 points of his 12 in the fourth. And I'll tell you what, this was a battle just between two teams that are really desperate for a win. Brookings, Dukes, they came into the game 1-16, so you know they want to win, right? I mean, they're trying everything in their power to get a win, and they hit some big shots. They were lights out from three, and Aberdeen Central, you mentioned it, grinded this one out, and Coach Norberg came on the post game and he said, these are the toughest games to win, because when you got a team so hungry for a win, sometimes you just got to finish down the stretch, and they went on a little run there. Lamar hit a jumper from the free throw line, made the lead to 7, and they were able to hold on, made some free. They were 8 out of 10 from the line in that second half, and Brendan Phillips did his thing, but Lamar was really the story in that fourth quarter with those eight points.
Aberdeen Central right now collectively sitting in that 13 spot in the AA side of things. Brookings doing their best to kind of get into the SODAC 16, really kind of needed that win to make that happen, to make kind of a leap. Right now, Sturgis and Yankton are battling for that 15-16 spot. You've got Douglas. This is just kind of these weird things with seed points and power points. Yankton is sitting at 3-14. They're in 16th right now. Douglas is 5-14. They've got two more wins, but they're sitting in 17th place because of the seed points and the power points. Just kind of weird how that all works.
Yeah, I'm always confused on how the power points work. But, yeah, it should be an interesting next couple or last week of the season here with some of those teams battling for playoff position and trying to get to that SODAC 16 game.
As for Aberdeen Central, they are taking on Sioux Falls Roosevelt. Of course, that'll be tomorrow. That'll be at home. We'll have the broadcast on Sunny 97.7. Rosie coming into that one 12-6 overall before Central wraps up the season on the road down south in Sioux Falls against Jefferson. They are sitting at 9-9. But, you know, Aberdeen Central strikes me as a team. They can compete with anybody.
Yep.
And then sometimes, you know, they play, I don't want to say they play to the level of their competition, like Brookings, of course, they only had one win, but found a way to grind it out. So what I'm trying to say is every game with Central, you kind of joked with me off the air. You sent me a text message. You're like, man, they're kind of like a box of chocolates. You just never know what you're going to get on a nightly basis. That makes for entertaining basketball.
Yeah, they're an entertaining squad. And just talking to Coach Norberg all season long, he really enjoys coaching this team. Mm-hmm. He just loves the effort that the team brings nightly, and he feels really confident. You know, just talking to him, he likes where the team's at right now. You know, 8-10, he feels confident that they could beat anybody on a given night. And they got a great test against Roosevelt, a team they could possibly see in that SODAC 16 game in the next couple weeks. So this could be a really good test there for them tomorrow night.
And it's not just broadcasters bloviating. It's like, oh, they can compete with anybody. They can. They literally beat Harrisburg when they were, I think, number two at the time. So, or were they even number one at
the
time?
They were ranked. They were the two team, but they were with the seed points. They were number one.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So
beat them, came back from 16 against Watertown, almost beat Peer on the road. I mean, they've had some very close calls this year. You know, they were right into the game against Washington earlier in the season. They put up 72 points against them. They beat Watertown. I mean, they've had a really entertaining season. I'm looking forward to see how they finish.
And this year they've won more games than they did last year.
Yeah, six wins last year. Now they're up to eight.
There you go. Other basketball final scores from Friday night. TZ was all over Redfield, 76-33. Groton got 25 from Lane Teets as they defeated Britton Heckla, 77-35. Keegan Tracy also chipping in 19 as well for the Tigers. Milbank has a kind of a 50 burger. Garrett Mertens and Joe Schulte combining for 50. There's that. That's that lucky number we're looking for. Milbank defeats Webster 68-49. Mertens with 27. Schulte with 23. That counts, right?
Yeah. Magic number's 50. And, you know, Milbank, I can't get quite a gauge on them because they have games like this where you think they're unstoppable offense, and then they struggle a little bit at times as well. They're one of those teams I wouldn't want to play in the Region 1A tournament, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, Milbank has had kind of a sneaky, decent season. They're 13-5.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, they're good, but if Mertens or Schulte has an off game, I mean, that's March basketball for you. You know, if you've got an off night, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, really. It really is. If your stars struggle in one game, and
you're done.
You're done. That's the beauty of March basketball, really.
Or the horror of March Madness. Who knows?
Exactly.
Castlewood puts up 63. They defeat Esteline Hendricks 63-19. Lane Tweed had a baker's dozen there. JVC falls at home to Wessington Springs 66-47. And Leola Frederick, they get a 35-point victory over Harriet Selby 75-40. Noah Kipley had 11 points there in the victory, while Rainer Sprague had 14 for North Central. They down Sunshine Bible 50-31. More high school notes from the weekend on Saturday. From the Warner Classic, it would be Keegan Stewart and Maddox Miller combining for 40 as Roncalli downs Ipswich 69-42. As Roncalli, they're another one of those teams. I wouldn't want to play them because they've got legit guys that can score. Their defense is pretty salty, too. I know Ipswich, a B team, and Roncalli, an A team, but Roncalli, just kind of one of those teams you just – kind of like Central, you're just not quite sure what you're going to get.
Yeah, like he says, you know, he scores 69 points there, and Keegan Stewart with 23 points, but they've had games in the 40s this year. They scored 40 against Aberdeen Christian, what was that, a week, 10 days ago?
Something like that, yeah.
I'm with you. Those teams like Roncalli, Milbank, I wouldn't want to play those teams in the 1A tournament, and you know, because they battle so hard defensively. They're just so stout defensively. But they struggle a little bit at times offensively. So if they can get a big game from their stars, you could be sitting there in prime position there to possibly, you know, come out of the region.
Other final scores from the Warner Classic there from this last weekend. Highmore Herald, they down Warner by the slimmest of margins, 47-46. Brody Sauerwine's 18 points, just not quite enough. Tio Spazina got past Wabe Summit by 9, 50-41. Carvin Fish had 22. Storm Sierra had a dozen there as well for TZ. Jackson Wolliber in the loss had 19 for the Mustangs. Wilmot got past Harriet Selby, 50-48. And also you had Sully Butte's fall to JVC, 51-19. Waverly South Shore was all over Hitchcock Tulare, 56-35. Sam Appelhoff had 22, while Woolsey Wessington defeated Lower Brule 58-19. Moshe Richmond with 20 points. Lower Brule was a State B tournament team last year, and I know they lost some talent, but putting up 19 points in a game, that rose my eyebrow.
Yeah, 19 points after, like you said, a year where they came off a state tournament appearance. I know you graduate some guys, but that's definitely – not their way for sure. They're kind of I'm just watching them a little bit last year. They were a run and gun type team, shot a lot of threes, and maybe they just had an off shooting night there. But back also to the Warner Classic game that you talked about, Highmore Herald, they hit a three there late, under 2 minutes to go. An eighth grader hit that three. A little ice water in your veins there, young man. How about that? That was an awesome three there and a great win for Highmore Herald over Warner.
Yeah, I saw that there. It's actually on our Facebook page at facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen, so you can check that out there. But they are a team. I'm looking at Lower Brule right now. Did I say Lower Brule or did I say?
You said Lower Brule.
Yeah, Lower Brule. They're sitting at 10-8 right now, so not a bad year, but a situation where if they can kind of get hot at the right time, which would be right now in theory, maybe they get hot and take care of business heading into the state tournaments and what have you in the regions and whatnot. We'll talk some more high school notes when we return. The Aberdeen Wings were back at home against the Bismarck Bobcats. Kind of a tough go against that Bismarck squad. We'll talk about that. Plus, you also had the state or region tournaments on the high school wrestling mats. We'll unpack that as Aberdeen Central picks up a huge, huge victory. All the details on that and more after this. Back on this Monday edition of the Sports Hub with an acoustic guitar. Can you play acoustic guitar?
No.
Me neither.
I wish I could.
Man, I play a mean air guitar, I'll tell you what, but that's about all I got. My daughter loves when I play the air bass. Air bass works best up here.
Slap the bass.
Slapping the bass, man. Do one of those and definitely rock a good old-fashioned air guitar from time to time. All right, more high school notes from this last weekend. We'll start up on the NAHL side of things. The Wings put up 4 on Friday night, but just could not get enough past Bismarck. 7-4, your final score there, as Bulgakov dropped in a pair as the Wings fall 7-4 there on Friday. Then in shootout fashion, falling on Saturday 2-1. So they do gain at least one of the potential 4 points, which is a positive. But flip side of that is now you got to go on the road at Bismarck and give them to you what they just gave to you.
Yeah. Just makes
we
that.
We owe them.
Yeah.
What?
Revenge?
Revenge.
Yeah.
Tony, man, it's Mad Cow or something like that.
But that makes that series now, this upcoming weekend at Bismarck, even more big.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big series coming up here for Aberdeen. I'll tell you what, because we're unable to protect their home ice there. You mentioned it, a tough one there on Friday night, where they played pretty well with the 4 goals, but Bismarck just a little bit too much there. And Bismarck, we talked about it earlier last week. They're legit. They won 9-10 coming in. I know the Wings have won 8-10. So, obviously it was Clash of the Titans, you could say, in the Central with how both teams are playing. But it's not like Bismarck was struggling coming into the series.
Yeah, it's
they
not,
won 9-10.
Yeah, if you look at this from the Wings perspective and you're like, man, that's a couple of bad losses at home. No, this is a team that was red hot. Now, granted, the Wings were red hot too, and sometimes you get some puck luck on the other end of things, and that's the way it goes. So
you lost in a shootout. That's 50-50.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that just makes that series on the road now just that much more big for the Wings. If they could somehow right the ship a little bit here, get that split, maybe win 2 like Bismarck did, you're right back where you were.
Exactly. So looking forward to that. That's upcoming this weekend on 94.1 The Rock. Region 1B wrestling tournaments from the weekend. You can check out the full list of all of the winners and losers there on our website, hubcityradio.com. Team Crown went to Kingsbury County. In Region 3B, the winner was, you guessed it, well, winner. They were followed by Kimball Whitelake and Platt Geddes. Miller Highmore Herald in third. For more individual notes, again, check out our website, hubcityradio.com. Region 3A, how about your Aberdeen Central Golden Eagles getting their first region championship since 2015? They get the job done. They were in first, followed by Pier in second, Huron in third, Mitchell fourth, and Milbank in fifth place there. Multiple first-place finishers for Aberdeen Central. Easton Faust at 106. You also had Porter Lazenski first at 120. Raiden Zenz first at 126. Mason Shrimp first at 157. And Aiden Giese first at 215. So multiple first-place finishers, multiple second-place finishers. Aberdeen Central gets the job done, job well done.
Yeah, really nice job. And like you said, a lot of first-place finishes. One that I saw here that stood out to me, Mason Shrimp, you know, he had an injury in football week 2. So he battled back from a serious injury and was able to come away with first place there at 157. Congratulations, Aiden Giese, another football guy, first at 215. Raiden Zenz, I mean, it seems like he's always in the top two every single week when we look at these. So congratulations to him. Tate Huff in second, Ridley Waldo at second. A lot of guys that I recognize just from covering the football squad here, doing some great things on the wrestling mat as well.
Congratulations to those guys, no question about it. Some college notes before we hit on more of the basketball side of things. Northern had some track and field action going on this last weekend down south in Brookings. It was the last chance meet, means it's their last regular season meet of the season, as the Wolves tallied 25 new personal records. You can check all of those out on our website, on hubcityradio.com. Northern State Wrestling, they would have the weekend split. They would down SMSU on Friday night, 25-14, before falling to Mankato on Saturday, 23-17. Your final scores there. And also, you had Northern State, not track and field, but swimming from the weekend. Northern State, they had their swim team recorded an eighth-place finish to close out the NSIC championships. The day saw Haley Osborne notch a NCAA B-cut standard time in the 100 free while finishing in sixth place, kind of the highlight there. For more individual notes, encourage you to check that out. It's all out on our website on hubcityradio.com. Come on back, and we'll take a look at a loaded college weekend on the basketball side of things, as Northern State was at home taking on Winona on Friday and MSU Mankato on Saturday. We'll unpack those games in great detail coming up next, and also take a look at some of the action in the GPAC, the North Star, and the NSIC. All of that and more as we'll wrap up this Monday edition of The Hub after this. Final segment of your Monday here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. If at any point in time you have missed our show, you can check it out on our website, hubcityradio.com, following the program, and you can listen to us complain and beef and moan about All-Star Weekend in the NBA, which apparently happened this last weekend, allegedly.
Yeah, I guess it did. Yeah. I missed it.
Yeah, again, it's that big tree in the forest. If it falls and no one's there to hear it, did it still make a noise?
No.
These are fair questions.
I think they are.
These are deep and esoteric questions for sure. College notes from the weekend. Northern State on the women's side of things. Let's start up with them. They would down Winona State 61-47. Winona State coming into this one had been shooting the three really, really solid. And that was one of my keys to the game, was to slow down their three-point attack. And Winona kind of came out and they put one on the Wolves there a little bit early. They let it, I think it was 28-22 at one point in time. That might have even been the score at halftime. I got to double check on all those exact numbers. But either way, Winona was shooting 6 of 10 from downtown. And I said, okay, well, if you want to find a way to come back and win this game, you've got to extend the defense. And they sure did. Northern had a huge second half. They were doubling Maddie Bragg. She did an incredible job passing out of the post and got everybody else involved. Bryn Alfson drops in a game-high 13 points. Dekonte Smith chipping in 14. Elena Beneke had 10. Rihanna Phillippe had a quiet game offensively in terms of scoring, but a loud game offensively in terms of the assists. She had 7 assists, 0 turnovers. That's a great number. And also had 9 rebounds. Madeline Bragg held to a season-low 3 points, did have 11 rebounds, but the Wolves surrendering a season-low 47 points. Talk about grinding games out. Doesn't matter how pretty or ugly it is, a win is a win. That's what you're looking
especially
for.
Especially this late in the season, but that third quarter was so big for Northern State. You just talked about it. Pretty back-and-forth game. Winona State caught fire from downtown, hitting those 6 threes, but 22 points in the third quarter from Northern State. And 16 in the fourth. That's a good job finishing against a team that you probably look and say, hey, good team, but we need to win this game. And they did exactly that. Also, they grabbed 46 rebounds in this game. That's a lot. And I'll tell you what, this team is just so good at rebounding. I don't know if it's an effort thing, if it's a technique thing, but whatever it is, it works. And I'll tell you what, they did a great job in this game. You look at the final stats. I know Winona State shot the ball so well, but you look at the final stats, 26.3% from the floor is all Winona shot. So really nice win for Northern State, a grinded-out game, especially late in the season. Nice job.
28-23 was your score at halftime, and then the Wolves put up 22 in that third quarter, like you mentioned. And, yeah, it's an effort thing. It's a coaching thing. It's a scheme thing. It's all of those things, and that's one of the reasons why they're one of the best in all of the NSIC on that.
Preseason number 10, just want to point that out.
You know what? I was going to put that up on the big board. Yeah. I need to do that with my trusty Sharpie here, and I'm going to go ahead and do that at some point in time here, probably after the show is over. But yeah, preseason number 10, and right now looking down the barrel of a first-round bye in the NSIC tournament. Not too bad, right?
Yeah, not too bad. I guess, you know, they took that to heart, and to be number two and beat number one the next night, awesome.
Who was that head coach that said, take that for data?
He slammed yeah, his, yeah.
Slammed
what was
his
that?
Paper. I can't remember that dude's
oh,
name.
Oh, man.
He was head coach of the Knicks at the time. Yeah, you might have to look that one up yeah. While I hit on this next one. Northern State on Saturday, they would defeat MSU Mankato 92-87. And like I said earlier, if you would have told me that you would surrender 87 points, turn the ball over 24 times, but still find a way to beat Mankato, I'd say, I don't know about that one, Chief. But 92-87 Northern State with the big win. By the way, who was it?
It was David Fizdale.
David Fizdale. There you go. Take that for data. Madeline Bragg, 23 points, 9 boards. Rihanna Phillippe, 18 points, 11 rebounds. Dekonte Smith, a career-high 18. Elena Beneke had 17. B-A-L-A-N-C-E. Is that the way you spell balance?
Yes.
There you go. Wolves certainly had that. They shot 49%. Kind of iced the ball game from the free throw line, 28 of 35. Mankato, they shot 29 free throws. They made 25 of them. They only shot 36%, and this may be kind of a bold statement because Mankato is really good, and they absolutely have been incredible all year. By the way, Joey Badd had 33, Natalie Bramer had 19. But this game was close, and I felt like it could have been even a little bit more lopsided if they didn't get as many free throws as they did because they shot 36%. Northern shot 49%. There were some kind of questionable calls in this game both ways for Northern as well as Mankato. But if they shot a lot less free throws, this would be kind of a lopsided affair, honestly.
Yeah, and you talked about it in the open, but the some of the others really stepped up on Northern State. Not, you know, Bragg, obviously, with the 23, Rio with 18, but Smith with that 18 and Beneke with that 17 were key points in the contest. You know, 35 combined points between them were huge, and that's a really good point that you made about the free throws because if you make them, well, Minnesota State obviously did, well, you can just find your way back into the game. Mm-hmm. And you looked up and they were, you know, I was worried just listening to the game on the radio there too, because you talked about it. You know, Northern had a little sizable lead, but you knew down the stretch with how good that Mankato defense is, you got to take care of the basketball, especially down the stretch, and you got to make your free throws, which they did. And I'll tell you what, that was an awesome win. That was an awesome win. And, you know, he said it on the post game with head coach Paula Kruger, but I liked it. GDW.
That's right.
I'm a big fan of that.
Big fan of the GDW. And if you don't know what that means, well, clearly you're not one of the cool kids, I guess. But a huge, huge weekend for Northern State, 92-87, your final score there. So Northern State right now sitting firmly in that number two spot in the NSIC. They will wrap things up on the weekend with Augie on Friday and then Wayne State coming up on Saturday. Northern defeated both of those teams earlier on this year, so both of those teams fighting for their playoff lives. It's not going to be easy, no two ways about that. On the guys' side of things for Northern State, oh, they fell to Winona 80-79. Your final score there. Jackson Mone, career high 40 points and 8 rebounds. Gus Reedy had 14 as well. They're like the antithesis of the Northern women's side of things because Northern, you get a couple players here with 15, a couple players with 16, 12, 18. It's that balance. On the guys' side, not so much. Mone had 40 on Friday. Josh Gilling, a career high. He had 37 on Saturday. That's that one guy that scores that much more points. Which is great. I'm not sneezing at a 40-point or 37-point performance. You love that, but you're just looking for a little bit more balance. Northern loses at the buzzer on a 26-footer from Connor Dillon, a guy that's a lefty. He shot it righty. He banked it in. That was the craziest shot maybe I've ever seen.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. Have you seen anything quite like that in your broadcast? You've been here in Aberdeen for almost, what, 8 years, 10 years now?
Almost a decade.
Almost a decade. You haven't seen anything quite like that.
No, that shot was absolutely incredible. And my call on it, I was stunned. I was just completely stunned.
Yeah, you really were. And, you know, I talked to you off the air. What even the baseball pass, you got to be so good on that. The guy just made a really nice pass. You can't screw that up because it just ruins the timing. He was fading away. A lefty just chucks it up and it banked in. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
It was nuts. And the distance between him being out of bounds was literally the distance of this Sharpie from this point of the Sharpie to that point of the Sharpie. Just the width of the Sharpie. It was that close to being out of bounds. And I was watching it the whole way, and I'm thinking, I think he was in the whole way. And he was. The referees looked at it. I think they got it right. And it's just one of those, you take your hat off to the guy and say,
congratulations.
Yeah, heck of a job for sure. On the Saturday side of things, Northern fell to Mankato by 2. This is the first time all season the Wolves hit 80 and they lost. 85-83, Josh Dilling, a game-high 37. That's a career high for him. Mone had 13, Michael Nile had 11. But Wolves just coming 2 points short. And I talked with head coach Phillips in the postgame show. They're not getting the results, but I don't think there's any question. They're playing their best basketball right now.
Yeah, and you have to. You have to here late in the season with the, you know, the end of the year coming up. You got to look forward to the NSIC tournament. And I'll tell you what, that definitely is a confidence raiser playing one of the best teams in Mankato that close.
No doubt. Fifth-ranked team in the country. And you can check out the NSAA, GPAC, and Northern Sun side of things. It's all on our website, HubCityRadio.com. You know, there are a lot of ways to make memories this winter, and Kurtz Motorsports wants to help you make memories from the seat of a new Arctic Cat snowmobile. Whether it's carving up a mountainside, blasting down a trail, or hitting the fresh powder, there are a lot of great memories to be made from the seat of your next Arctic Cat snowmobile. So when you're ready to make memories on an Arctic Cat snowmobile, stop by Kurtz Motorsports and talk to Kurt on West Highway 12 in Aberdeen. See dealer for safety and training information.